Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we have Father Brian Pierce. Father Brian is a missionary, itinerant preacher, and lecturer based out of Irving, Texas. The title of his preaching is Grace Upon Grace Upon Grace.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus addressed this parable to them. "What man among you having 100 sheep and losing one of them would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman having 10 coins and losing one would not light a lamp and sweep the house searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found the coin that I lost.' Just the same way, I tell you, there will be more rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of the Lord. After years of rigid adherence to the tiniest iota of the law, Saul's world has just shattered into a million pieces of colorful, beautiful glass, each piece shining more brightly than the other. Saul doesn't know if he should laugh or weep. All that talk about grace had always sounded to Saul like a bunch of cheap rubbish. Up to this point, the law had been his obsession. In Saul's world, there was no room for something as wimpy as grace. As far as Saul was concerned, real Jews climbed to the mountaintop with their hiking boots laced all the way up, like soldiers of the Lord. Saul's great pride was that he had collected more merit badges on his uniform than 100 Eagle Scouts. His friends called him Mr. Perfectissimo. That was the old Saul, though, the one they now call Paul. The local people could still hardly believe the news, but it was true. Saul's encounter with the risen Christ in the river of God's mercy had transformed him almost overnight. Though Saul, now called Paul, didn't know exactly how it had all happened, he knew deep down that he had found his true self, made in the divine image of God. Everywhere he looked, he saw nothing but grace. He no longer needed to show the world how righteously devoted he was, and that allowed him finally to fall into the river of God's love. One can almost see Saul coming out of that river, soaked from head to toe in God's compassionate love. The first words that he heard when he came up out of the water were, "Welcome home, Brother Saul. We've been waiting for your homecoming for a long time." I can attest to the fact that I have never heard a single derogatory word spoken against another religion in our home. Never. Though I didn't even know what the word ecumenism meant growing up, I give thanks to God and to my parents that we lived ecumenism peacefully every day of our lives. In today's gospel, Jesus is accused of welcoming sinners and eating with them. I wonder what happened in those early years of Christianity that allowed the poison of religious superiority to seep into the cracks of beautiful ancient Judaism. In my own journey of faith as a young boy, I don't remember ever hearing a single harsh word against another religion. As kids, we knew of other churches in town, and we even occasionally would go to one of the Protestant churches, spend the night at our Protestant friend's house. Looking back, I think that between my dad's Protestant upbringing and those experiences with neighborhood friends, the seeds of ecumenism were sown very early and quietly in my mind and heart. It was years later, thanks to a visit that our Catholic Newman Center at Stephen F. Austin State University in East Texas, it was then that I tripped fortuitously into the Dominican Order. The visit that our Newman Center made that Saturday morning to the monastery of our Dominican nuns in Lufkin, Texas, was the seed that changed my life. That first visit to Lufkin floored me in a way that I almost can't describe even to this day. Had the nuns offered me the veil that day, I probably would have taken it. Unfortunately, I don't think I would have passed the physical. My first assignment to full-time ministry as a Dominican was to live with two friars and two Dominican sisters as part of the missionary preaching team on the Texas-Mexico border. What made it doubly exciting was that I was able to mix with different worlds and different cultures during that year. To this day, I still give thanks to God for the gift of learning Dominican life in the midst of the poor. After serving a year as a deacon on the Texas-Mexico border, I began preparing for ordination. The closer I got to ordination, the more I began to suffer. For the first time in my life, I realized that I was about to take a step that would in some way create a distance between my father and me. As my ordination got closer and closer, the more I suffered. I had never really thought about the possible consequences of this ordination. And one day it just hit me like a lightning bolt. I realized that I was about to take a step that would, in some sense, distance me from my father. I went through a few weeks of utter turmoil. I kept thinking, how am I going to give communion to my mother and my brothers on the day of my ordination while my dad sits alone in a pew watching the family receive communion for the first time from their newly ordained son and brother? Every day that passed, I felt worse and worse. Thanks to my community in McAllen, Texas, they suggested that I ask to have an appointment with Bishop Fitzpatrick, a man whom many consider a saint to this day. Sitting in front of the bishop, I described to him what I was feeling. I was really being torn apart. The great blessing that I had been waiting for suddenly felt like a huge burden. I was sick to my stomach. The bishop sat there quietly, listening like a shepherd. And he asked me one question. "Brian, I'm guessing that your father played as much a role in your vocation as did your mother. Am I right?" I looked at the bishop and said, "Yeah, of course. Both of them have played a huge part in my vocation." Bishop Fitzpatrick looked at me with a gentle smile. And he said to me, "Brian, explain to your parents, especially your father, what we're going to be doing at this ordination. And invite him to come up with the rest of the family at the time of communion." All together around one table. I was in shock. I consider the grace of that day as one of the most blessed gifts of my life. I think I was more grateful that the bishop invited my father to share communion with the rest of the family than the ordination itself. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Yes, grace. Upon grace, upon grace. Amen.